Yeah, I was not leading songs tonight. Okay, so we are in Luke 18, and let's see what we can do in with this chapter. And this is an interesting chapter because it is the end of Paul's second journey and also the beginning of Paul's third journey. So we are going to see something really interesting in this chapter, because there is a man who is really eloquent, preaching and teaching about Jesus, but he's not in with the full training or full teaching about baptism. So we are going to see that in this chapter. Let us begin with verse 1, reading verse 1, 2 and 3. Who can read that for 20 points? Yeah, verse 3.
So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation they were tent makers.
Thank you. So you see in those three verses that there is a lot of information in those three verses. It's talking about different cities, different people, and what Paul is doing at this moment, working with other two Christians about his profession. He's a tent maker, so he's doing that not just for his living, but remember that he is preaching in all these different cities. So he needs money to survive, right? So he is going to work, because we know for other scriptures that he wants to work not because of the money, he wants to do it because of the work that he's doing for God. And that is something really interesting that we are going to see in Paul. Okay, so let's begin with this chapter, and this is not working. Dun, 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 dun. So the class is done.
Let's see here.
Oh, we're gonna start the class again. Okay, so in the title for this Bible study today will be A Teachable Heart, okay? I'm thinking about this title because when you see this man that we are going to see later in verse 24, all the way to the end, and when you see the church or the people in Corinth, you will see a contrast between two groups. Well, the city, the people in Corinth, and just this man whose name is, remember? Huh? No, just one man who was really eloquent, preaching and teaching about. Huh?
Apollos.
Thank you. I was expecting that someone can say that because I was not remembering how to say that. Okay, so our culture today. When we think about not just this country, about also my country, and I think that many people believe today, and I'm thinking about almost every age today, that they know everything, and they think that they are right in everything that they are going to say. And I am right. Nobody can tell me something different because I know that I am right. And this is the mentality that you are going to see in the city of Corinth. They do not want Paul teaching this new Jesus or this new teaching about salvation and all of that. So many people today, they are going to say, I know I am right. And maybe they are going to say all of this. You know, I am really smart. I am really, I know everything. So don't tell me that because I already know. And you cannot have just a conversation with some people because they know, I already know this. So don't tell me anything about it because I already know. So I think that for us who are Christians, I hope that we have a different mentality, a different mindset. I hope that we have open heart that is willing to listen first and later to have a conversation about the topic. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we are not going to listen to some people because, no, don't tell me about it because I already know. You are really stupid because I already know that and you cannot tell me about that because I know everything that I need to know about it. Really? Do you know everything? Only God, thank you. Only God knows everything. So we don't know everything. And this happens sometimes with, I don't want to say this, but this happens sometimes with preachers. That some people think that they know a lot, and when someone is going to ask something, and sometimes the preacher do not know the answer, he is going to come up with something. And I told you this. Do you think that it is okay to come up with something, or it is okay to say, you know what, I don't know. I will study that later, and I can give you an answer later. It is fair, right? Because we don't know everything. We're not here that, like, we are with all this knowledge from the Bible, and so we are going to tell you everything that you need to know. No. We are trying to grow in the way that you are trying to grow. And it is okay if you are telling someone, you know, I don't know about that issue. But if you want to have a conversation about it, we can. Maybe later I can study or I can know more or better about that. And that is an open mind and open what? Heart. Willing to listen. You remember James? James is going to say you need to be slow for what? Slow to anger and slow to speak and ready to listen. And sometimes we are ready to speak and, you know, listen, not really, we're not there sometimes. We're just ready to speak. And sometimes when you have some kind of conversation, you're not just even listening, you're just thinking in your head what answer you can give to that person. Like in a marriage, when you are having some kind of issues, sometimes someone of the two are not listening. So what is something good that you need to know or that you can do in any kind of relationship? Listen first, and later you can answer. So don't come out with just an answer without thinking. Okay, so let's think about the gospel in Corinth. And what we are going to see, this is Achaia, and this is Corinth over there. And I will use this because this is better. So this is Corinth. This is Achaia. So Paul is over there preaching and teaching over there. So what are we going to see? That this city is full of people who are not willing to listen. They're just willing to react about something. And when you are willing to react about something, that is going to make problems for any group of people just reacting about something. Do you know someone who just react? Maybe you cannot say, well, it is me. I hope not. Because when you are just reacting, what that can say about you? That you're not willing to listen and to learn. You are just reacting. And you see in the book of Proverbs that God is going to say a lot about those who are just talking and talking and thinking about their own wisdom. Their own wisdom. So it is the end of Paul's second missionary journey. And we see here this Corinth. So he is going to be in this way later up to Antioch. And also it's the beginning of the third missionary journey. So he is going to begin here. He is going back again to Corinth and coming back here to Jerusalem. Okay, Corinth was a major city of the Roman Empire. And also Corinth was a city with a remarkable reputation for loose living and especially sexual immorality. And I can tell you a lot about some cities here in the United States that they are far away from God, and they are living a life that is not pleasing to God. And think about in Oregon, we have Portland. And Portland is a city that I would not recommend to live there. But if you really like to live this kind of life, well, Portland is a good city for that. But again, Corinth is this kind of city. Can't you imagine Paul, the apostle, coming to this city and he is going to preach about Jesus and he is going to say, this is what Jesus is teaching about, you know, sexualities, you know, about fornication, about adultery, about all of these issues. And these people are like, what are you talking about? We are living a good life. So it is really interesting that Paul is going to preach to these kind of people. In classic Greek, to act like a Corinthian means to practice fornication, and a Corinthian companion means a prostitute. So there's a lot to see in that city. It is a terrible city. But think about this. Paul is going there to preach. Is he going to do it anyway? I'm sorry? Yeah. Because remember that in the Gospels, we see Jesus coming to different cities and preaching the gospel, not to those who were self-righteous. He was preaching the gospel to those who were what? Sinners. Because he was looking to save the lost. He was preaching to those sinners. And here we have Paul preaching in this city when Satan is leading the majority of the people. So it is because of the idol that they had over there, or the goddess that they had over there. So they were some way worshiping an idol, worshiping a god. So that's why they have all this kind of living style. Also, from this city that Paul wrote his Roman letter. It's not interesting that he wrote the book of Romans from this city. And you figure it out when you read chapter 1 in the book of Romans that he is going to emphasize about different things because he is going to be there with these kind of people who are doing these activities. When you read chapter 1, for example, verse 24, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their what? Hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Verse 25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Wow. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to the what? To the lust and to the dishonorable passions, for their woman exchanged natural relation for those who are contrary to nature. And the men likewise. Do you see what they are doing in this city? It is something different today. So what is Paul doing in this city? Again, he is preaching. If there is nothing different today, what are we supposed to do? Keep preaching. Because remember, Paul began with this in chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel, it is the power of God for what? Salvation. Doesn't matter who you are, the gospel has power to save you. So that's Romans chapter 1, verse 22 to 32. Following this, the difficulty of living as a Christian in this culture or in this city in Corinth, okay? It is really difficult to live in that kind of situation. And how many people do you know that they are living in, for example, You know that California, they have a lot of cities that are not really good cities to live. And you know, I don't know if you know someone who was a Christian in those cities, moving to a different cities because they know that those cities are not okay or good. But imagine again, Paul preaching in those cities. And what is he preaching over there? Because he's trying to save people, right? He's trying to be a light. He's trying to preach Jesus, that Jesus can save them. And he is going to be there. I don't know about you, but we cannot avoid those people, you know? Like, judging people, like, maybe that guy is going to listen. No, maybe that one is going to listen. I think that one is not going to listen. We cannot judge people in that way. What is our responsibility as Christians? Just preach, right? What about if someone rejects you? What are you going to do? Keep going. Keep going because they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. Keep going. Remember, the best teacher on the earth, his name is Jesus. Not everyone was following him. Not everyone was saying, I will do whatever you say, Jesus. Not everyone. The best master, the best teacher. Many people was rejecting the best master. So you cannot expect that people are going to reject you. People are going to reject us when we are preaching. But the point is, keep doing it. That is our job. Keep doing it. So he's going to stay in this city teaching for more than a year and a half. So imagine being in this city preaching for a year and a half and preaching almost every day to these kind of people. Do you think that they are going to be happy? Do you think that they are going to be happy? Do you think that they are going to be, yeah, it is Paul again? Let's join to this group. No, because Paul is going to preach about Jesus and what you need to do in order to be holy. So Paul is going to join to Aquila and Priscilla, and he is going to work with them. And we are going to talk about them later because they are going to be essential later for Apollos, okay? So in Romans 16, 3 and 4, Paul is going to say something really interesting about these two, this couple in the book of Romans. In chapter 16, he is going to say about them that they are fellow workers. Verses 3 and 4 in chapter 16, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who rest their necks for my life. Or their life for my life. So they are going to. He is going to say they are fellow workers. So it's not just Paul preaching. Also, we have two more now preaching with Paul, fellow workers. Do you remember us, Elijah, when he was facing all these prophets and later he was in a cave because he was afraid of his life? And he was thinking, I am the only one who is worshiping God. I am the only one who is doing okay. I am the only one who is following God. And God said, wait a minute, wait a minute. What are you saying? Yeah, I am the only one. I have a great zeal for God, and I am the only one who is doing this. And what is the answer that God gave him? I think it's 7,000, right? Thank you. A good answer. But you are not the only one, Elijah. You are not the only one. I have more people in this city. So it is interesting that sometimes we think we are just alone. And that is not true. Even if we are alone, remember Jesus. He was preaching for 3 years. He had 12 guys following him day and night. But in the hard moment of his life, everyone disappeared. And he was just alone. So they are working in tent makers, and they are doing this. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greek. I like this persuaded, because it's going to be used many different times in many different places. Persuasion. And I think when we are preaching the gospel, we are trying to persuade people to come to Jesus. We are trying to tell them that we can have a better life if we follow Jesus. And we are not preaching that, you know what? We are not going to have problems. If you follow Jesus, you are going to be rich, and we are not going to have problems, and you are going to be super healthy. No, we are not preaching that, right? We are preaching that the best life that you can have is when you are following Jesus, because he is going to do something for you in the end. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, is talking about something really interesting that Paul is going to say about this. Let us read that. We have the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He is going to say, this is really interesting, for I decided, remember, this is the church in Corinth, and they are living in among this city with all these interesting people, and now we can realize and we can understand why this church is having a lot of problems, because the culture or the people around them are really evil. So they have now this mentality when they come to Jesus, and they are bringing all these problems because they're not changing, they're not being transformed. So in verse 2, in chapter 2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him, what? Crucified. When are you preaching, and when are you teaching about the gospel? What are you saying? Are you talking with someone about different issues and different denominations? Are you talking about the, you know, the Sabbath maybe, or whatever it is, and you are leaving Jesus outside of the talking? What is Paul doing here? He's saying, I am preaching what? Christ and him crucified, because he's dead is what is giving us salvation. So I think the first thing that you need to preach, it is about Jesus and the gospel, how we can be saved. You can leave those different topics for later, but you need to preach about salvation first. And this is what Jesus is preaching. Paul is preaching. Now we have two more with Paul, and that is Timothy and Silas. So now it's not just one, not just three, now it is five in the same city. It's not exciting. You have five, so you need people who can work with you, that can give you courage in some way. Okay, so in 1 Thessalonians, he's going to talk about these two guys, chapter 3, verse 6 to 10. Let's keep moving, because the time is running. In verse 9, and the Lord said to Paul one night in vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are what? My people. You see, it is something almost the same answer that God gave to Elijah. Now God is giving to who? Paul. You know what, Paul? I know that you are afraid. I know that you are like, you don't want to talk anymore, but keep talking. Do not be afraid, because I have more people in this city. I have more. So you are not the only one, Paul, preaching here. So let us see something also. And when we talk about this in Corinth, and when we talk about Paul preaching in Corinth, I know there is some Christians that they want to live cities that are with a lot of problems, with a lot of different issues. They want to go to a place that is, you know, when they have more Christians and more people following God, because they can have that fellowship with other Christians. But think about this. Paul is going there to preach, and God is going to tell him there is more people in this city. and they are doing the work. So Paul, do not be afraid. So do you think that would be better to move to a different city or to stay in the same city and keep preaching? Because Paul is going to stay there for how long? A year and a half. He's going to stay there. He's not going to say, I'm leaving. And God says, no, wait a minute. You are going to stay. I'm with you. And I have more people in this city. So don't leave the city because you are a light in this city. You are a light in the dark. So if the light leaves the place, what is going to happen with the room? It's going to be dark. What about if you, who are the lights, are leaving the city? Who is going to be the light later? Who is going to be the light in this city if you are leaving the city? You see that God is giving you a job to be the light in a city that maybe can have, has many problems? So for me, the answer is do not move to a city that has already light. Stay there because you light is needed. So we can look at the city and look at the changing culture and think we need to run to the hills and hide because our society is turning darker. But again, we can think about this. What is going to happen if all the lights leave the city? What is going to happen? The city is going to be what? And dark. So we need light in the city. And God told Paul, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. That's something huge. Because when we think about the Apostle Paul, we think, well, he is a man of courage. And he was afraid at this moment. That's why God is telling him, do not be what? Afraid. I am with you. So we do not need to move someplace where the light is already shining. The mission of light is not to find more light, but to be placed in the darkness and turn darkness to light. You understand what I'm trying to say here? You understand my point here? We need to be where the light needs to shine in the darkness. And in the place that you are, it is a good place. To keep shining, because you are a light. Amen? So if you're a light, you need to keep shining. Okay, so keep going with this. Being in the city is going to be hard for Paul and for his companions. So in verse 13, this man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law. And this is something huge. This is something huge. Because remember that Paul is preaching what? Jesus and him, what? Crucified. And he is teaching that we need to worship only Jesus and Jesus alone. So these people are saying, this man is persuading people to worship God. And that is contrary to the law. We have a law in this city, in the city of Corinth, that no one can worship God. And this man, Paul, is preaching that we can worship God. So what are you going to do when the law is telling you that you cannot worship God? We have this issue recently, right? And here we have the law telling Paul, this man is persuading people to worship God. That is against the law. And Paul is going to say, God told me, keep on speaking. I will keep going it. I will keep doing it because God told me. So he's dealing with opposition and reviling while he is there. And also, people are bringing him to somebody else to talk about this because, again, he's persuading people to worship God. So he's violating the law, and he is telling worship and serve God and nobody else. And they are worshiping this idol because this idol is giving them the freedom to do whatever they want, right? So when you are talking with some people about God, and they are going to say, well, I don't follow God because God is giving me so many restrictions. And if I don't follow God, I have all this freedom to do whatever I want. And you have many groups today saying that, you know, we have freedom. We are super smart because we have all this freedom that we can oppose on people. And we can teach in universities, college, high school, elementary school. We can teach about transgender ideas. We can teach about homosexual ideas. We can teach about all these Satan ideas. But if you mention God, if you mention Jesus, no, no, no. That is wrong. You see? You see how it's nothing is different today? They are taking point and say, this man is persuading people to worship God and serve God. So, if the empire tells Paul to stop telling people to worship God, Paul is going to continue worshiping God and telling others to worship in spite of the law. Because we obey the law, but we obey God first. And I hope that is your thinking. We obey God first. So we need to be ready in the city that we will do what God says to do, even if the city says not to. So if the city said, you cannot come to this building and worship God anymore, you cannot worship God in any way, what are we going to do? Worship God. And again, it is okay to be afraid because we have the Apostle Paul. He was what? Afraid. It is okay to be afraid, but that fear cannot stop my worshiping to God. Not just because I am afraid, I cannot just stop worshiping because God told me, I am with you, and you are going to be okay. So if evangelism becomes illegal, we still must do it. And it is the same with everything, praying, talking about sins, or whatever it is. It is something illegal to worship in this country. What are we supposed to do? Keep worshiping. But thanks God that we have the freedom to worship. We have the freedom. But even when we have the freedom, there are many who are not willing to come. And that is really sad because there is another country that they don't have the freedom and they are willing to worship. And they have the desire to worship. So Paul was afraid, but the fear cannot cause us to stop, okay? I'm always watching my time. So Paul kept worshiping and kept preaching and kept doing the work of in the city, shining as a light in the darkness. So let us talk about also Apollos. And I'm getting to the end, and that is good, because I was expecting to finish the whole chapter again. So Paul makes a quick stop in Ephesus and his way to Antioch and promised to quick return. So before he returned to Ephesus, a man named Apollos came to Ephesus. So he is going to be eloquent, he is going to be mighty in the scripture, he is going to be instructed in the way of the Lord, and he is going to be fervent in spirit. Think about all these qualities that we have just in one man. It is impressive. It's impressive that we have all these qualities in just one guy. And it is also interesting that he is going to spoke and talk about Jesus, what? Accurately. He is going to teach about Jesus accurately. But later we have this couple coming and listen to this man, and they are going to teach Apollos more accurately. Do you see the difference? He was preaching about Jesus accurately, but Aquila and Priscilla are going to teach him more accurately because he only knows about John baptism. So they are going to teach him about Jesus baptism. So we have this man, and he is willing to learn. Remember again, think about all the qualities that he already has. He has more qualities that these people in Corinth. He was eloquent, he was mighty in the scripture, he knew a lot about the scripture in the Old Testament, and he was like a man willing to learn. Willing to learn. He was there. And when Aquila and Priscilla told him, you know, we need to tell you something about John baptism. You think that he was like, what? Are you going to tell me something? I am really eloquent. I am mighty in the scripture. I am teaching Jesus accurately. And you are going to tell me something? I know everything. You cannot teach me something. I already know. I know I am right. Well, that is not his attitude. He is humble, and he is going to listen. And I hope that is our mindset, that we are humble people willing to learn, willing to listen. Imagine Apollo said that he knew everything he needed to know about Jesus. So now we see two contrasts between Apollos and Corinth. So the people in Corinth and these men Apollos. We see selfishness in one side, and we see humility in the other side. So, again, they are like saying, this man is persuading people to worship God. And we know that it's not right. We know everything. We already know what is okay. And on the other side, we have Apollos. Yeah, teach me. I need to know. So would you come before God in humility, ready to listen to what he is saying to us? Are you willing to come in humility? Say, God, I don't know everything. Can you teach me? Can you teach me what I need to know? So will you have a teachable heart? Remember that there's two contrasts, selfishness and humility in the other side. Which of those two are you going to have? You are going to be like the people in Corinth, or you are going to be like Apollos, who is willing to listen, willing to be humble. And he is having the heart that is a teachable heart. So, will you be a light in the city? Will you continue to worship and serve God, even if it is contrary to public opinion or approval? Are you willing to admit that you do not know all that you need to know? And also, are you willing to accept correction and change? And this, I think, is a little bit difficult, this one. Because sometimes when someone is going to teach us that we are doing something wrong, like, can be the attitude that, what are you saying? I already know that I am not doing something wrong. So don't tell me what I need to do. Don't tell me what I need to know, because I already know that I am doing right. So are you going to have the heart that is humble to accept correction and change? Because Apollos had the heart to accept the correction and the change. And remember, he was eloquent, mighty in the scripture. He was teaching Jesus with all this knowledge, but he also was a humble person willing to change. And that is chapter 18. In the book of Acts. So thank you for the time that you are giving me. And I want to say thank you to all of you for having me again. Again, I'm sorry for my English sometimes, but I'm glad and I am happy and grateful that I'm here with all of you. So again, thank you, and this is the end of chapter 18. Who is leading song?